Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368. Results, reaction and analysis to all of the Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey action, both on Ireland and further afield. But without further ado, we'll start things off in the usual fashion by bringing you the classified results from today, Saturday the 20th of September 2025. Starting with football, the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Corinthians 5, Douglas High School All Boys 3. Union Mills versus Peel postponed. Braddon 6, Foxdale 1. Ramsey 4, St John's United 2. Ayr United 2, Onchan 4. Rushen United 0, Laxey 0. Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2. Maloo 7, Douglas and District 1. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys 3. Governors Athletic 1. Castletown 6, Maroun 2. Colby 2, Pulrose United 1. Canada Life Combination 1. Douglas High School Old Boys versus Corinthians postponed due to an unfit pitch. Peel versus Union Mills postponed. Foxdale versus Braddon, a late result. St John's United versus Ramsey, a late result. Onchan versus Ayr United postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Laxey versus Rushen United, a late result. Ardern and Drugan Limited, combination 2. Douglas Royal versus Jims, a late result. Douglas and District versus Maloo postponed due to an unfit pitch. Governors Athletic versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys postponed due to an unfit pitch. Douglas Athletic versus Pulrose United is a late result. Maroun 3, Castletown 2. Michael United 3, Colby 2. And in the NWCFL Premier Division, Pilkington 0, FC Isle of Man 0. Turning then to rugby, the Regional 2 Northwest. Douglas 62, Altrincham Kersal 13. Vagabonds Ladies 22, Sale FC 1861 second 15, 91. And in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, Douglas Celts 37, Southern Nomads 10. Turning now to hockey, the Mixed Premier League. Vikings B 0, Backers A 11. Castletown Celts 4, Valkyries A 3. Backers B 4, Vikings A 3. Harlequins A 4, Castletown Southerners 2. In Mixed Division 1, Vikings C 0, Backers C 1. Ramsey A 2, Valkyries B 2. Harlequins B 2, Valkyries C 2, result declared in the second half after match abandoned due to a waterlogged pitch. Mixed Division 2, Vikings D 0, Castletown Cosney 1. Ramsey Ravens 1, Castletown Cushags 1. Castletown Camags versus Backers Mixed Colts postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Mixed Division 3, Backers D 6, Castletown Carrick 1. Harlequin C 1, Backers Mixed Bucks 4. Vikings E 4, Harlequins D 1. Ramsey Rookies 0, Valkyries D 11. And in the Mixed Under-15s League, Backers 1, Vikings 0. Castletown Sabres versus Ramsey, a late result. Castletown Sharks versus Harlequins, a late result. That concludes your classified results for Saturday, the 20th September 2025. We're going to turn our attention, first of all, to football, which is the usual case here on the show. But however, we are doing things a little bit differently this week, because unlike, as usual, our football correspondent here at Manx Radio, Tony Meppham, is not in the studio. He is, in fact, in the south of the island. He joined us live from Croitlowie, where he's been watching the Canada Life Men's Premier League game between Rushen United and Laxey. Well, Tony, a very good afternoon. And we'll turn to the game that you were at first, because it was a meeting of the top two in the Canada Life Men's Premier League going into this week, and nothing to separate them. What can you tell us about the game? And also, I understand you have a guest with you over there as well.
I certainly do, but Johnny's just having a quick word with someone, so we'll come back to him in a second. But let's have a look at the game, and atrocious conditions, I've got to say, Rob, in the first half, because the rain absolutely chucked it down. The pitch down here is always good, but it's cut up a little bit, nothing savage. But I would say the first 20 minutes belonged to Laxey. I think they had some really good chances, didn't quite run for them. And, you know, when you've got people like Ben Wasser up front, then you expect sort of goals, and it didn't quite come off for Ben, normally playing for FC Isle of Man. But Aaron Bradley probably had the best chance in the first period or so, where his shot from the left-hand side, it had some pace on it. It was a good ball through to him, but unfortunately for him, it went well and truly over the top of the bar. But a couple of really good saves by Dean Kearns. One he didn't know much about. It was just total confusion with the defence at Russian. And the ball came free to Laxey to have a pop at it. The shot was good, but Dean Kearns was there to save it, parry it over the top. Second half, I thought Russian were better. You know, Laxey had that real good run in the first 20 minutes, but I think it was, again, a great save by Dean Kearns. It was a good ball through to Ben Wasser on the left-hand side. Wasser, you know, just moved into the penalty area and took his shot, and it was saved by Kearns. So that was it. I think a draw is a fair result, and I'm glad to say Johnny has joined me now. Johnny, top of the table, you were this morning, and you're still unbeaten, but what a great start for Laxey so far this season.
Yeah, very pleased. So far, so good. We've played five, beaten four really good teams, come down here, and to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get all three, but, you know, at the end of the day, at the start of the season, I'm taking a 0-0 down here all day long. But I think our expectations are maybe looking up rather than down. And we had some issues with injuries and people away today. But, you know, I can't make that an excuse, because the lads that come in played really well. But I think once we get everyone back and so on and so forth, I think we'll do okay. We'll be up there, you know, with seemingly there's a lot of teams that are a lot better than everyone expected. I think maybe this year it could be a lot of a tighter affair than anyone gave it credit for.
What's the difference this year, Johnny? Because I think everybody, myself included, have looked at Laxey to be the possible champions at the end of the season. But you've done well in the Cups, but unfortunately the league just seems to disappear away from you. And you're a lot of players missing today, like Russian were, but you still managed to hold on to it.
Yeah, that's been our problem, is that we can't get a settled 11. You know, somebody's away every week. Hopefully now that the season's in full swing, people are going to like put a bit more commitment down, and we'll keep a settled 11, keep a settled 14 maybe than an 11, and we can rotate the subs as we wish. But we have struggled in the league. I can't take that away. But again, like you say, in the Cups, I think we've done really well. But I don't want to win Cups, I want to win leagues.
Joe Walters back, Aidan Pickering, I thought was superb in goal for you today.
Yeah, he's been a revelation. He's only a young lad, but, you know, fair play to him. He's come in, took his opportunity, both hands, as a goalie should, and he's done really well. I'm very pleased.
Looking 7 days ahead, Corinthians next week?
Yeah, that's everybody's big test, isn't it? Everybody's looking at Corinthians as maybe looking to waltz the league. Maybe not. Look, at the end of the day, we fancy our chances against anyone. We're quietly confident and happy to run under the radar, and hope that everyone, you know, the Corinthians of this world and the Peels of this world take the spotlight away from us. I'm happy for that to happen.
And you've just had a sneaky look at the results. Happy enough with the way things are gone? Corinthians have shown that they're vulnerable today, conceding three goals. Yes, they were down to 10 players. But when you look at Ramsey, they've sort of taken points, and Oncombe. What can you say about them?
Well, start with Corinthians. Firstly, you know you're going to have to score a lot of goals to win games against Corinthians, because they're going to score a lot of goals with the firepower that they have. You go a little further down, Oncombe have been a revelation. Great club, great setup. You know, they've got good people around them. That's what makes clubs, if you will, at the top end of the table excel. You know, it's the groundwork that goes on behind, And you'll find that the better the infrastructure, the better the team. You know, certainly Corinthians put their hard work in, Laxey put their hard work in, Onken put their hard work in, and they're reaping the benefits of it now.
Totally agree, Johnny. Congratulations today in getting a point out of it, because I think that's a point gained with the players that you are missing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Point gained. Like I said, at the start of the season, I'm taking a point at Russian all day long. So, you know, as disappointed as we were in the dressing room, I think that's maybe a change of mentality for us. The lads are in the change rooms going, you know, we should have won that game. Whereas maybe previous seasons we're thinking, well, I'll take a point. We're not happy with a point now anymore. So maybe next week we'll see. You know, we're playing Corinthians. They're top of the league now. They're everybody's target, aren't they?
I hope so. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for hanging on. Johnny Palmer there, the manager of Laxey, giving his views on today's game. And it was obviously very difficult conditions to play in football, but certainly both clubs give it a good go, Rob.
Yeah, thanks very much as well to Johnny Palmer, the Laxey first team manager, for a couple of minutes of his time there. Well, you may have just heard it there, both Tony and Johnny alluding to it as well, that there is going to be a new team at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League this evening by virtue of goal difference. So following today's results, Russian United and Laxey, we've just heard, a goalless draw between them two, both them on 13 points. Corinthians now moving to the top of the table, also on 13 points, but ahead on goal difference. Another win on the board today, Tony, for Corinthians, but they were really made to work for it today by Douglas High School Old Boys. Corinthians 5, Douglas High School Old Boys 3.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good performance that by Douglas High School Old Boys, because you know, they knew that they were coming off a close game last week, and today against Corinthians it was 3-3 at half time. Now Corinthians went down to 10, I think it was in the second half, so just shows what a performance that Old Boys have put in. It was Cameron Brew got one of the goals, Ryan Gartland with two penalties, so he held his nerve to slot them past the goalkeeper for Corinthians. But Luke Murray again, second hat-trick of this year, and when you think they've only played five games, three for him, and Josh Riding's got two, one from the penalty spot. But certainly Stuart Smith will be missing the big game next Saturday with that sending off. Could have cost them dearly today, but they hung on. And Corinthians take the 3 points, as you say, to go top of the table.
And a big game towards the bottom of the table, top place of Victoria Road between Braddon and Foxdale. Both teams still searching for their first win of the season, and one of them has taken it quite comprehensively, their first win of the season. Braddon beating Foxdale, Tony, by 6-1.
Yeah, they were 3-0 up at half-time, and Liam Cannon, it was, who got the goal for Foxdale. But Braddon touched on him at last night in the show. Nathan Robinson, he's a great young player. He got two of the goals. Lee Cura got one. Nick Harvey got a couple of goals. And Lex Medley, another good young player coming through the system, got the other one. So great result. Big, big 3 points for Braddon, that one. And just puts a bigger gap between them and Foxdale at the foot of the table.
Elsewhere in the north of the island, Ramsey and St John's United went toe-to-toe with each other at the Ballacloan Stadium, but ultimately the hosts have come out on top. Ramsey beating St John's United by 4-2.
Yeah, back on song, I think, a little bit today, Ramsey, because they've been sort of struggling of late. But Phil Dunnigan, a new signing from Ayr, and I know that I've spoke about him many times because I watched him 2 or 3 years ago, an excellent player. And it was, 2 years ago he cleaned up as a combination player for Ayr United. But today for Ramsey, 2 goals, an own goal. Nathan Crane got the other one. So two good young players playing for Ramsey there. But for St John's, Sam Ingham got one of the goals. A new signing, Rhys Oates, back from injury, got the second one. But it wasn't enough to take any points away from Ramsey. And 3 it is, and helps them in the table tally.
And I know, Tony, this with this next result, one of the teams you've spoken of pretty highly so far at the start of the season, Onken, going to Ayr United this weekend up at Andrews Playing Fields. And Onken with a big win today away at Ayr United. And that means Onken, they actually leapfrogged their hosts in the table up to fourth after 4 games. So moving just to within 3 points of the top three. Onken beating Ayr United by 4-2, Tony. Tony, you said Onken were in with a chance of taking 3 points on Friday Sport Preview last night. And that's exactly what they've done.
They're playing really well. I was impressed with them recently when I watched them play against St Mary's. And today it was Ayr United who took the lead. Alfie Scott with the goal. But then Tom Creer got the equaliser to make it 1-1. Tom O'Neill made it 2-1. And then I think it was Ethan Leavers got us one of his brace to make it three, but then it was an own goal to make it 3-2, I believe. And then Ethan Leavers got his second of the game to make it Ayr United 2, Onchan 4. And as you say, absolutely flying up into fourth. And I don't think they expected to be in that position at the start of the season, but certainly now they're catching everyone's eyes.
Turning then to Ardern and Drogon Limited Division 2, and the big game there, potentially, some might think this weekend, was over at the Castletown Stadium, with Castletown targeting a fifth straight win in their fifth game of the season, looking to keep a 100% tally up against a Maroun side who were unbeaten in their opening games coming into this one. But Castletown have won this quite comprehensively, Tony, by 6-2. Did you see this coming?
No, I didn't, because if you remember, I predicted Maroun to win this one, so my apologies to Castletown. But I've got a report, and thanks to Dean Turton for this. Castletown tighten their grip at the top of Division 2 with a 6-2 dismantling of Maroun, who finished the game with 10 men. It was Maroun who struck first, 5 minutes in. Carl Hartman, teasing free kick, was met at the back post by Matty Kane, who climbed above his marker to nod home. Castletown almost levelled instantly through Alex Crawley, denied first by Harry Horbury, the goalkeeper, and then by a Joe Rothwell goal line clearance. But their equaliser came soon after. Ollie Lee picked off a loose pass, powered into the box and squared for Charlie Quirk, who just about bundled the ball over the line. Lee then turned finisher. His clever back heel flick from a corner put Castletown ahead before struck again with a powerful finish across goal. Castletown went on at the break 3-1 up and fully in control. Crawley's pace continued to torment Maroun after the restart. Racing through, he was chopped down by Harry Horbury, who escaped with only a yellow. Crawley dusted himself off to convert the penalty to make it 4-1. Minutes later, Ash Sansbury whipped in a deep cross and Lewis Dean powered in a header at the back post to make it 5. Lewis Fletcher then saw his shot judged to have crossed the line for 6 despite Moran's protests. Moran's second came from the spot, but it was little consolation on an afternoon where their keeper was the busiest man on the pitch. Horbury's day went from bad to worse near the end, clattering into Crawley again late and receiving a second yellow. He might easily have been straight red. Castletown's sharper movement, relentless pressing and creativity told the story. Moran simply ran out of ideas. When they got into the final third, Town marched on, unbeaten and looking every inch the side to beat in this division. Thanks, Dean, for that report.
Yeah, and just to put some numbers on top of that report there, that it's a comprehensive report. So Castletown 5 wins from 5, and also with a goal difference of plus 27 compared to their next nearest challengers, Colby and Malou, who we'll come to in a moment, Tony. Colby on plus 7, Castletown on plus 27. They certainly know how to find the back of the net at this moment in time, Castletown.
Absolutely flying, and when you look at how many times they've scored 5 and now scoring above 5, it's absolutely brilliant the way it's going for them. And as I say, my apologies for predicting them to lose, but I just thought Maroun would be too strong. It was Matty Kane and Carl Hartman who got the goals for Maroun, but no, Castletown looking impressive. There's a bit of a gap appearing in that Division 2 now, and with one or two other teams sort of dropping points, it's just pointed towards Castletown to possibly sort of hold on to the top place in this league for quite a few weeks.
There were other successes for other teams in the south of the island today. We'll turn our attention to what happened at Station Fields between Colby and Pulrose United. Colby and Pulrose second and third in the table respectively going into this weekend's ties, and it's proven close when they've both met on the pitch as well, because Colby have just edged this one against Pulrose United by 2-1, Tony.
Yeah, good performance this by Colby and their new signing, returning back to his club. That's one of the quickest sort of returns I've seen in Manx football, because he signed at the start of the season and game 4, game 5 in, he's back at Colby, and rightly so, it's his club. Steve Collister got the first goal, but Jordan Edge, who's been in great form for Colby, getting the second one. Haven't got Paul Rose's goal scorer, so if you could text us through, please, 166177, and we'll give the scorer a mention.
Indeed we will. And elsewhere in the south of the island as well, it was a good day for Malou up against Douglas and District. Douglas and District still yet to get points on the board this season, but it's a clinical performance from Malou, beating D&D by 7-1.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at it at half-time, Rob, it was Malou 2, Douglas and District 1, so D&D sort of held their own, because they've conceded quite a few goals so far this season and showed great determination in that first 45 minutes. But in the second half, Malou really sort of pushed at them. Mike Pardo, he got two goals. Paul Whitley got one. I think it's Joaquin Douglas got a goal. Kieran Douglas got one as well. Nathan Berry on the score sheet. And Ash Egan, who's just transferred back to Malou. I'd like to see his paperwork on how many times he's transferred. It's quite a few over the last 2 or 3 years. But Ryan Gildani with his first goal in his 17 years of age for Douglaston District. So congratulations to him. And the youth policy's working at D&D as well, Rob, because two 16-year-olds come into the team today. Dylan Rees was one of them, and Nathan Perger, I think it is, the other one. And a big congratulations. I love loyalty in a club. And David Allen, who's a defender for D&D, it was his 200th game today. And when you think he signed for D&D in 2016, so 10th season, congratulations to him. And I would say probably having a couple of pints while we read out these scores.
From the south then to the north, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys hosted Governors Athletic this afternoon, and although the visitors took the lead, it was the hosts who rallied back, particularly in the second half, to take all 3 points. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys going on to beat Governors Athletic 3-1.
Yeah, and I think certainly Governors will be happy enough with that, because Ramsey Youth Centre just missed out on promotion last year, and this year I think they'll be there or thereabouts at the end. Usual goal scorers, Ross Crawford with one, so he's continuing like he did last year. Oliver Baker got one, and Tom Hall as well got the other one for Ramsey Youth Centre. So a little bit of uncertainty at the start of the season for youth centres seems to be disappearing, coming up with some useful performances. And today a good result, 3 points away from Governors Athletic.
Well, that's Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 in Canada Life Combination 1. A reminder as well, we did have a couple of games that were postponed today in Canada Life Combination 1. Douglas High School Boys versus Corinthians, and also Onken versus Ayr United due to waterlogged pitches. They'll be rescheduled for a later date. Also, we did hear earlier this week, the game between Peel and Union Mills was also postponed. We do have another result that's filtered through to us, Tony. Foxdale 1, yep. Braddon 6.
Wow. I don't think I've got that one through yet, so I don't know if you've got any information. Any scorers there, Rob?
I don't, I'm afraid, at this point, but if we do get that information, we will of course bring it to you. And if you do yourself have those details, please do let us know, text or WhatsApp 166177. There were two other results we were waiting for in Canada Life Combination 1, St John's United versus Ramsey and Lexi versus Russian United. Tony, I wonder if there's been any updates since we last spoke.
No, not heard anything. Obviously, I've got the headphones on down here, so I can't get the combi score through. We'll try and get that later on, but not too sure, but I would have expected Russian to have won.
Well, we'll wait and see if we can get confirmation of those results a little later on. Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2, another one of those where we were just awaiting a couple of results. One of those, Douglas Royal versus Jim's. Tony, have we had any further updates?
We haven't had Douglas Royal score through, but I just have got the score for Russian's combination in Combination 1, and it finished up Laxey 0, Russian 0. 1-1. 1-1 it is, sorry. Laxey 1, Russian 1.
Excellent, thank you very much. So yeah, just a reminder, if you just missed out as well and you're waiting for an update, Canada Life Combination 1 full-time result, Laxey 1, Russian United 1. So a draw between the two combination sides, as the first teams did. And that was a goalless draw in the Canada Life Men's Premier League today. So we are still awaiting, one of those results we're still awaiting on, Douglas Royal versus Jim's in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2. If you have any information on that, please do let us know at 166177, text or WhatsApp. Looking elsewhere in Combination 2 as well, there were a couple of postponements there going in today. We'll just give you a reminder of those. Douglaston District versus Malou postponed today, as was Governors Athletic versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Douglas Athletic versus Paul Rose United, that was another score we were waiting on, Tony. Any further updates?
Yeah, I got some information on that one for you, Rob. Douglas Athletic and Paul Rose, there wasn't a referee scheduled yesterday, but today we just waited to see how the weather went, to see if any referees became available, which they did. So when a referee was appointed to the game, Douglas Athletic evidently had told their players that there was no referee and the game wouldn't be going ahead. So the players planned other things, and when the FA notified them that they had an official, that they didn't have enough players to field a team. So this will go to the disciplinary committee, and to be honest with you, Rob, just looking at it, I can't see Douglas Athletic having a case, because at no stage did the Isle of Man Football Association indicate to the club that the game was off. So it does look as if the points will be awarded to Paul Rose United.
And we will await to see confirmation as to what happens in that regard. Thank you, Tony. Just had another result through to us as well in combination one between St John's and Ramsey. It has finished St John's United 0, Ramsey 7, Tony.
Well, that's a great score for Ramsey, but probably expected. Any goal scorers, Rob?
No goal scoring information, but of course Ramsey impressed previously, haven't they, as well? So a bit of a statement from them.
Well, it is, because when you look at Russian there, you've got Corinthians as well. I know they dropped points against Peel, and you've got to take note of Peel as well, because last year they were very young, you know, did okay. But this year, with one or two sort of first team experienced young players coming into the combination, it's made them a lot stronger. So, yeah, please look out for Peel in future games. But I've just had the score confirmed of Ramsey. I think it was 6, but we haven't got any goal scorers.
Excellent. Thank you, Tony. Well, two other games in Ardern and Drigon Limited combination 2 today. One of those at Memorial Playing Fields between Moraine and Castletown. A close game, but the hosts coming out on top. It's finished Moraine 3, Castletown 2.
Yeah, and it was Castletown's Finn Mulligan with one of the goals, and Teddy Weatherall got the other one. I haven't got Moraine's goal scorers.
And finally, in Ardern and Drigon Limited combination 2 up in the northwest of the island, Michael United beating Colby by 3-2.
Yeah, and well done to Michael. Good result for them. Bit of confidence booster. Tried to sort of get it all sorted, and they did it against, when you look at it, the champions from last year, Colby. Haven't got Colby scorers, but for Michael United, it was Bobby Baxter with one. Nathan Farrer got his name on the score sheet as well. And it didn't help matters for Colby, because one of their players scored an own goal as well. So finished up Michael United 3, Colby 2.
And just a quick throw ahead, Tony. So those are the results across the Isle of Man Football Leagues today, Saturday the 20th of September. We're due to have a couple of games taking place in the Canada Life Women's League tomorrow. There were a couple of disruptions to games last weekend due to what were considered unfit pitches. But a couple of fixtures in mind for tomorrow, Tony. But I'm sure a lot of eyes will be on the weather to see what it does over the next 12 to 24 hours.
Well, no doubt about it, and I'm looking out the window here at Croit Lowy, and the pitch looks fine, but a lot of rain came down, and I'm pretty certain there'll be some pitch inspections going on in the morning. But the weather forecast I've got is good, so let's just wait and see. But if there's any doubt with any of the pitches, or if they're going to postpone it, just send me a text or give me a ring, because last week it was a little bit confusing. Sort of getting the information out, because obviously the office is shut, so there's no staff in there. So any clubs, if they can relay the information back to me, I can pass it on to the people that need to know.
And just a quick word, Tony, as well, for FC Isle of Man. Full time it was at the PSD Stadium earlier. Finished Pilkington 0, FC Isle of Man 0. Going into this one, FC Isle of Man had the leakiest defence in the league, up against the top scorers. A point apiece in what seemed to be quite a cagey game, but do you think the clean sheet might give FC Isle of Man a little bit of encouragement?
Well, definitely after you conceded 5 and what, 4 of them in 15 minutes or so midweek, that'll give the defenders and Paul Jones a confidence booster. Did I hear rightly, Rob, that FC Isle of Man were down to 10 players? Did I hear that right?
I'll just have to await confirmation on that one, but one thing I can tell you is that they had a last-minute goal from Charlie Higgins disallowed, adjudged to have been offside there today. So we'll just need to, red card. So Callum Hudgens shown a second yellow card in the 77th minute there. No further details, but yes, well spotted, Tony. FC Isle of Man did finish the game with 10 men, so to battle on with that and keep the game as level as it was right up until the end there, goalless draw, that must, again, just show maybe a little bit of character behind some of the players to see that result out.
Absolutely, and well done to them. And you know, Callum Hudson will learn. He's only what, 17 years of age. He's new into the squad this season, so he's going to miss out on the midweek game. And whether it's next weekend's game, I don't know how the Northwest County suspensions work, because ours takes a week to go through. It makes the scoreline even more impressive. And I think we're all just waiting to see now what happens, because as the statement that came out from FC Isle of Man, that after the Pilkington game, they will be looking at how the part of the season has gone. It's not gone to plan. So what do they do? And it's a tough decision because, as I said to you last night, Rob, Paul Jones would get my vote because, you know, I'm looking at other people on the Isle of Man who could do the job. I've worked with Paul Jones with the Ireland squad, and he's clever. He turns sort of everything into positives as much as he can. And I just hope that he keeps his position. And, you know, I know a few people say, well, he started it all off, he should stay. But when you've got a board and then you've got the management, it's how the board think. And yes, there's a lot of supporters, I'm sure, there on the board for Paul Jones. But it's a results process. And, you know, we were talking about it today at Rushing at length quite a bit. You know, if they got relegated, it's going to be so, so hard to get back up because, yes, we know the squad is very young. So if they can get this season under their belt and learn from it and stay in that league, then they can build from that one. But, yeah, I wouldn't like to be on the board. They've got a difficult decision to make, whether they keep Paul or whether they let Paul go. But my view is Paul Jones the man to do it.
But just on that point, Tony, we're hoping to hear from Paul Jones actually in the next couple of minutes live from St Helens. But there was that brief statement a few weeks ago from the club saying that a review of the season so far would be taking place after today's game. Now, in the conversations we've had with Paul Jones since, he has said that it is going to be a normal routine process as part of what they've done over the last couple of years. So we certainly can't predict what's going to be said in those conversations. But I suppose, you know, how big a step in some way could this be in the season, whichever direction the club chooses to go?
I think it's a huge step because your memory is far better than mine. But when you think of it, this stage last year, just before the sort of time that they make the decision and review it, they were struggling. But then them results came, the points came on the board, and it was an easy decision to make. We carry on. This one is a little bit more difficult to make because, let's be honest about it here, Rob, is that it's dropped off on the park. The supporters have stayed away, a lot of them, which is a shame because it's still our team. We still want to go down and support them. You know, when you look at the stewards and everything else, it's all harder to get because they're not winning. So, you know, it's our Ireland team, if you like, playing in the English League in the Pyramid. So we should support them. Financially, it's crippling. We always knew that was going to happen because when they've got to pay for the opposition to come over and put them in a hotel and stuff, I know from the Isle of Man side of it, when we go away, you're talking like £4,000, £5,000. That's a lot of money to find. They've got some great sponsors in there, Rob. But at the moment, you know, when you look at that first season that we covered, you couldn't have written that any better. But since then, it's been a little bit harder and you're jewel in the crown players, Sean Doyle, Jack McVeigh, Frank Jones and others have come out of it. The younger players have come in. They're good players, but you've just got to be patient with them and wait for them to develop as footballers. But unfortunately, football is centred around results. And at the moment, the results aren't going FC Isle of Man's way. But they got a win last Saturday, heavy defeat midweek, a draw today against one of the better sides. What a tough decision that is for the board to make.
Well, actually, Tony, just as we speak, we do have Paul Jones, the FC Isle of Man manager, joining us now after seeing his side play out a 0-0 draw with who were the free-scoring Pilkington going into today. Paul joins us now live from St Helens. Paul, thank you very much for your time. So, first off, it sounded like some horrendous conditions that both teams had to navigate today, but a point and a clean sheet, would you say that is a positive result from your side of things?
Yeah, very much so. I thought we played very well and we dominated the game. You know, another day, I think if we're winning games of football regularly in this division, we'd win that 2-0 with a little bit more confidence in the final third. But yeah, Pilkington, I think the top scorers are they in the league at the moment, and we managed them pretty comfortably, to be honest. A couple of snares right at the end is when we went down to 10 men, but we still took the game to Pilkington. And yeah, really happy, as you say. It was a difficult 20 minutes on Tuesday night, and I thought the lads have reacted fantastically well.
Was there maybe, some people might have looked at this on paper and thought FC Isle of Man had, you know, going into this weekend, the numbers say the leakiest defence going into this up against the top scorers. Was that a big conversation before the game of maybe knowing that you might have had to contain Pilkington a little bit, or was it not?
No, not at all. Didn't even come into the conversation, to be honest, Rob. It's just about us doing what we need to do for 90 minutes more consistently. And the players and I spoke about that on Thursday night. We haven't done any work on the training ground, and they've gone and delivered the performance that we know they're capable of, week in and week out. So it's a mentality thing, it's a decision-making thing, it's a willingness to do the hard yards. And no, it wasn't a conversation, because when we play like we've played today, then teams will find it very difficult to score against us. And the, you know, the next little bit is just finishing off the chances we create.
And also as well, you had a new signing joining you in the squad for this weekend as well. Ethan Martin Edge from the Ireland, formerly of Castletown and a former Castle Russian High School student, who's been part of the Stephen Gerrard Academy in Liverpool as well, signing for the club this week. Obviously, it only happened in the last day or so, really. But I suppose going forward, what are you hoping opportunities-wise you can offer a young player like this in the FC Alamann setup?
Yeah, I mean, it helps, doesn't it, in terms of availability-wise on away trips, when sometimes it can be a struggle. We've had a couple of players who are available Tuesday who've then had to work the weekend to make their hours up, and that's part of our challenge, really. So if we have a player or two based in the UK, like Lucas Watson has done for us as well, that can supplement the squad, and we know that they're getting a good standard of coaching and a good standard of football. You know, they're playing against academy teams in the Stephen Gerrard Academy. You know, they're playing against pro club teams. So, you know, Ethan's getting tested week in and week out and under some good coaches there, because they supply a lot of players to the Liverpool-based teams in the non-league game. And, you know, it's good for us, isn't it, I think? And it means that if we are short availability-wise, we've got a player that we can trust and we know is coming in at a decent standard. So, you know, the game conditions today meant that we couldn't get him on the pitch, and we didn't want to risk him on the pitch. But I think the lads, knowing that he had a choice, you know, Ethan had a choice of clubs to sign for, and he really wants to sign and play for us. And, you know, that helps sometimes, because not everyone I've asked this week wanted to come away. But Ethan's like chomping at the bit to be part of this football club, and we need more of them.
And just finally, Paul, got around 30 seconds here. Looking forward now, a bit of a break. You don't have a game next weekend, but then back in league action the week after that. So what are the big lessons that you'll take from this week, getting that point, getting that clean sheet, that you'll hope to take forward?
We're good enough. I said to the players, you're all good enough. You're all good enough to do it. The challenge is to do it consistently, game to game, and with a consistent group of players. So that's our challenge. You know, we know that the potential is there for this to be a really good group of players. I heard Tony there about time and patience required, and that is it. But there's also an element of making sure we can perform week in and week out to get the results required to demonstrate improvement. And that's it. You know, the lessons are, play like you're capable of it as a group, and you will get results in this game, in this level of football. And that's what we've got to keep working on over the next couple of weeks, and keep doubling down on all the conversations that we've had so far, and put the hard work in the training ground to make sure for Barnoldswick in a couple of weeks' time we're ready to go.
Paul, as always, thank you very much for your time, and safe journey back to you, the players, and the supporters.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
That's Paul Jones, FC Isle of Man manager there.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to rugby now, we've had a trio of matches taking place on the island today, featuring both men's and women's teams. Douglas Celts and Vagabonds Ladies all in action, and the latter of those involved in their first game of the women's NC2 North-South campaign. And watching on and keeping a cry across all things, as usual, is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian throughout today. And Dave, very good evening. We'll start off with Vagabonds Ladies. A tough start to the season, but I imagine plenty of lessons taken, would you say?
Yeah, I guess tactically there was a lot that they perhaps could have done that didn't. They showed little glimpses of it every now and again. They did score four tries, but Sale enjoyed the wide open spaces of Bella Fletcher, and they were just a quality outfit. There were some very, very talented players in that team today, and you can tell that they've had exposure to Sale 1861 women's first team, who of course are playing in the national leagues in the United Kingdom. So a difficult day for Vagabonds. When Freya Crowe opened the scoring in the third minute, there was a little bit of hope around the ground that it might be the start of something good, but Sale quickly dashed that. Just before 10 minutes, Lauren Jenkins went over for a try. Kath Bodie converted and Sale were in the lead, and they never really looked back. Emma Lifshitz and Katie Colton added two more tries. Jenkins went in for her second, and suddenly, where Vagabonds, a couple of minutes in, were just in front, suddenly they're 25-7 behind. 25-5 behind. It was very difficult for them. Natalie Bush pulled a try back as half-time approached. Freya Crowe touched down for her second. And with half-time just about in view, Vagas were trailing by 12 points, and a comeback looked possible, if perhaps unlikely. Lauren Jenkins, however, went over for her hat-trick try at the end of the first half. That killed the revival stone dead, and when the teams turned around, Sale were 32-17 in front. There was no let-up for Vagabonds in the second half. Izzy Turner and Layla Watkins both ran in hat-tricks for Sale. Katie Colton added two more to complete her hat-trick, and there were also tries from Kath Bodie at Charlotte Thatcher. Neve Hopkins took over the kick and duty. She added a conversion as well, and Sale, in the end, were the comfortable winners. As I said, Vagabonds will reflect on that game. There was a little bit of space on the pitch. They didn't kick into it nearly enough. And Freya Crowe was the pace on the pitch. She should have had a little bit more game time, just in my view. Obviously, I'm not the coach. I'm not going to call the shots. I'm certainly not going to second-guess Jack Kane, who's been doing the job for a few seasons now. But, I think they'll get better as the season progresses. But today, no, they were nowhere near what they needed to be to beat that Sale side.
And then Regional 2 Northwest Douglas back on home soil up against the Altrincham Kersal, Dave. And a fantastic result for Douglas today.
Yeah, they are now in fourth place in the standings in Regional 2 Northwest. They had a thumping win today, 62-13. And a couple of other results went their way in the league. Sandbach, the early leaders, they've dropped points. They lost away at Northwich, who were down near the bottom of the table. So Douglas benefiting a little bit from those mid-table shuffle-arounds as a result of today's scorelines. And today, yeah, no chance of Altrincham Kersal getting into the game. 62-13, there's no answer to that. Kyle Martin ran in a hat-trick of tries for Douglas off the wing. In the forwards, Harry Cartwright got two, and there were also tries from Ollie Corkish, Craig Martin, Jonty Cope, and Harry Hewson. And the new number 10, Matty Wood, he converted seven of those and added a penalty as well. Douglas flying high at the moment. It's probably too early to get too excited, but the prospects are looking good for the 25-26 season.
And just finally, another Douglas side were in action today. The Douglas Celts up against Southern Nomads in the first game of the new look, the Hartford Homes Manx Shield this season. Douglas Celts coming out on top in this one.
Yeah, that's an impressive performance to beat Southern Nomads. The Nomads have been pretty much top dog domestically for a little while, although Ramsey did have a bit of a say in that at times, but 37-10, you can't argue with that scoreline. For Douglas, it was Craig McGee, the star of the show. He had a hat-trick of tries, and there were also tries from Jack Rowlands, Jack Wallace, Percy Hampton and Fred Atherton. Jack Rowlands also added a single conversion. For Nomads, Finn McGregor and Kieran Stevens with the tries, no kicks for them. And they're going to have a little rethink, because next Saturday they meet Ramsey in the Cheshire Vars up at the Murrick Park, and they won't be wanting to turn in a performance like today.
Dave Christian, thank you very much as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
Finally tonight, we turn our attention to hockey. Game week 2 of the 2025 Isle of Man mixed hockey season, with games across all four senior divisions and also the mixed under-15s league as well. And stick with us as well if you're of a hockey persuasion, because we will be bringing you the live draw for the first round of the mixed cup competitions this year, once we have taken ourselves through all of the respective results across the divisions. To go through all those results today is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. Ben, very good evening. We'll start with the mixed Premier League, and there were a couple of teams obviously who've made strong statements right at the start of the season. One of those being the defending champions, Bakaze. They've made a big statement again this week because at the NSC in Douglas today, they've beaten Vikings B by 11 goals to nil.
Yeah, double figures for the second weekend in a row. Elliot Reid with 2, Jamie Brown with 3, Tom Lotham with 1, Andy Whiting with 4 and Chris Bass with 1, giving Bakaze a fantastic result, because coming up we've got a big result that's going to be a shock to everyone.
And that's the result I'm going to come to next, because their nearest challenges after the opening week, Vikings A took on Bakaze B at the NSC straight after Bakaze A got that big win over Vikings B. And arguably, Ben, the shock of the round in terms of the game week, I guess, because Bakaze B have beaten Vikings A by 4-3. A fantastic result for Bakaze.
Absolutely. And when this result came through, I did have to look at my phone twice just to check it was correct. Carl Moore with 2, Doug Quayle and Sienna Millward with 1 for Bakaze B. And then for Vikings A, Josh Dougal with 2 and Kim Carney with 1. But a massive result there in the early stages of this campaign.
And then there were 2 games in the mixed Premier League at King William's College. The first of those saw Castletown Celts taking on Valkyries A. An entertaining one, this. 7 goals in this one. And it's the Southerners just coming out on top. Castletown Celts 4, Valkyries A 3.
Yeah, and Valkyries A will be really disappointed with this one, because they were 2-0 up at half-time. So to lose it 4-3 right at the end would be massively disappointing. George Powell with 2 and Amy Sellers with 2 for Castletown. And then for Valkyries, it was Alex Neal and Oscar Lace with 2.
And straight after that at King William's College, the fourth and final game in the mixed Premier League this weekend saw Harlequins A taking on newly promoted Castletown Southerners. And Southerners, a spirited performance against Harlequins A, but not quite enough, because Harlequins A merging 4-2 winners.
Yeah, 2-2 at half-time in this game, so it was all to play for in the second half. Goal scorers for Harlequins were Isla Kane, Will Hassel, Cameron Room and Maisie Crellin. And for Southerners, it was Kira Kelly and Andrew Winstanley.
And just before we move on to Mixed Division 1, again, coming back to that that big shot for Vikings A up against Bakaze B, that big win for Bakaze A, the defending champions. Just how big I know we're only in the second game week here, but for the Mixed Premier League, just how big a week could this prove to be in the season to come?
It could be massive, because, like we say, it's only week 2, but if Vikings slip up again or another slip up, that gap's just going to build and build. So Bakaze will be happy going at the results of this weekend, because now that means they're sitting top of the league, 2 points clear of Vikings, eh?
But of course, we do caveat a long way in the season.
Absolutely.
To go at
still
this point.
Still plenty of time to go.
Mixed Division 1, the early pushback at the NSC at 11:05 this morning between Vikings C and Bakaze C. Battle of the C teams, I should say, if you like. Bakaze coming out on top in this one, only just by 1-0.
Yeah, Will Wiseman with the crucial goal to give Bakaze C that victory.
Elsewhere in the north of the island, Ramsey A taking on Valkyries B. Maybe, just maybe, both teams quietly confident of their chances of promotion going throughout this season, I should say. Ended all square at Ramsey Grammar School today. Ramsey A 2, Valkyries B 2.
Yeah, Dan Hurd with both goals for Ramsey, and then for Valkyries B, it was Kieran Gale and Eleanor Devereux.
Same scoreline at QE2 between Harlequins B and Valkyries C. A 2-2 draw, but Ben, this game didn't go the full distance. Could you explain why?
Yes, well, I was the umpire of this game along with Sam Franklin. And let's just say this: in the second half, the rain came on. Unfortunately, Peel's pitch was already wet as it was. With the rain that came in later this afternoon, it didn't help things. The pitch started flooding. So with 18 minutes to go, the decision was made between me and the other umpire and the captains that the game was to be abandoned for player safety.
And just for clarity as well, that result, it was 2-2 at the time, and that result will stand.
That result will stand, because it has passed the time which we need to play before a result can be declared. So yeah, 2-2 draw, it will stand as a 2-2 draw.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben. Well, there was another game affected by the weather out in the west of the island. We'll come to that in just a moment. Mixed Division 2, a couple of close games here today. So in the early pushback of 11:05, that saw Vikings D taking on Castletown Cosney at Castle Russian High School. Cosney winning this one, 1-0.
Yeah, Finn Sampson with the goal. And big thanks to Lawrence Watterson for this little report. What a game to spectate. Honestly, could have gone either way. Vikings started the stronger, but Cosney's defence stood firm. Chances fell to both teams. Both keepers were on fine form all game. Looked to be heading to end a stalemate when Cosney did a smash and grab move, resulting in a win for them. What a game.
Excellent. And the other game that took place at Castle Rush High School from 2 o'clock, Ramsey Ravens 1, Castletown Cushags 1.
Yeah, Paul Hunter for Ramsey Raven and Ashton Flick for Cushags.
And we mentioned the games in the West of the Island were affected after that abandonment due to a waterlogged pitch in the Mixed Division 1 game. Well, that meant that the 3:35 pushback between Castletown Camags and Backers Mixed Colts in Mixed Division 2, that game has now been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. And elsewhere, Mixed Division 3, it finished Backers D 6, Castletown Carrick 1.
Yeah, Abbey... I can't read your writing here, Rob. Abbey Swills with the goal. Carl Brennan, Richie Weir, David Neal and Christian Davies were two for Backers D. And then for Castletown, it was William Sherknock. Just one thing to say on the Camags Backers Colts game, that will be getting rearranged in due course.
Thank you very much. Elsewhere in Mixed Division 3, Harlequin C1, Backers Mixed Books 4.
Yeah, Cal Joyce were two and Ryan Cartwright were two for Backers Mixed Books. And for Harlequin C, it was Faith Tier.
And Vikings E4, Harlequins D1.
Theo Roberts with two, Morgan Braywood with one, and Olivia Mackey with one, with the consolation for Harlequins D coming from Aidan Leslie.
And rounding out the senior leagues, a big win for Valkyries D, beating Ramsey Rookies at Ramsey Grammar School by 11 goals to nil.
Yeah, Mark Perryman with three, Mike Files with two, Stu Gell with two, Bonnie Eelson with two, Dale Limonoso with one, and Lucas Adams with one, giving Valkyries a great win there.
Again, we did have three games in the Mixed Under-15s League. We'll bring you those results on manxradio.com later today, but we must turn our attention to the 2025 Alaban Mixed Hockey First Round Cup draw taking place. Ties to be played on Saturday, the 18th of October. Ben, could you just give us a quick overview of what the format of the competitions is, very quickly?
Yep, so the Mixed Cup is between eight teams, so all teams will get drawn out on this one. In the plate, it will be two ties drawn with two teams getting a bye, as there are only six teams in this. And then the mixed bowl, there is eight teams in this one, so they'll be all drawn against each other.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. So here we go. This is the draw for the Mixed Cup. So eight teams in the hat for this one, aren't there, Ben?
Absolutely. So when you are ready, Rob, if you'd like to pull out the first one.
Here we go. And the first number out is number seven.
And that is Vikings A.
And they will play number one.
Ooh, Backers A.
Big tie straight off the bat in the Mixed Cup. Next one out is number six.
And that is Valkyries A.
And they will play number five.
Harlequins A.
Next out, number two.
Is Backers B.
And they will face number three,
which is Castletown Celts.
And then the next to be drawn out is number eight,
which is Vikings B.
And that leaves, to round out that tie, number four,
which is Castletown Southerners.
So Ben, could you just give us a quick recap of the ties there for the Mixed Cup?
Yep, so the ties in the Mixed Cup are Vikings A v Backers A, Valkyries A against Harlequins A, Backers B against Castletown Celts, and the Vikings B against Castletown Southerners.
Okay, well, let's go straight to our next competition. This is the Mixed Plate. Now, Ben, there are two ties effectively in this opening round.
Yep, so two ties to be drawn in this round, with two teams getting byes into the next round.
And six teams as compared to eight in the Mixed Cup, so six in the Mixed Plate. So first one out in the Mixed Plate for 2025 is number three.
And that's Ramsey A.
And they will face number five,
Valkyries C.
Next up is number six.
It's Vikings C.
And they will face number one,
Backers C.
And that means the first team to get a bye will be number two,
which is Harlequins B.
And the second team to receive a bye, number four,
which is Valkyries B.
So Ben, just a quick reminder then of the draw for the Mixed Plate first round.
And they are Ramsey A against Valkyries C, and Vikings C against Backers C, with byes for Harlequins B and Valkyries B.
Last but certainly not least, the first round draw for the Mixed Bowl. Now, like the Mixed Cup, there are eight teams in this competition, Ben.
Absolutely. So eight teams in this one, and every team will be paired up with someone. So
no byes in the first round. It's only the Mixed Plate that have a couple of byes in the first round.
Yes, absolutely.
So here we go. The Mixed Bowl, and the first number out is number five,
which is Ramsey Ravens.
They will take on number 6.
Which is Vikings D.
Next out is number 8.
Valkyries D.
And they will face number 3.
Which is Castletown Cushats.
Next out is number 1.
Backers Colts.
And they will play number 2.
Which is Castletown Camags.
And the final two. Number 7.
Harlequin C.
And they will take on number 4.
Which is Castletown Cosney.
Excellent. So, Ben, could you just once again just quickly summarise the first round draw for the Mixed Bowl, please?
Yep. So it's Ramsey Ravens against Vikings D. Valkyries D against Castletown Cushags. Backers Colts against Castletown Camags. And Harlequin C against Castletown Cosney.
Okay, excellent. So that is the draw for the first round matches of the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl in Manx Hockey. Ben, just for confirmation for those who don't know, the tie is due to be played still on Saturday the 18th of October, we believe.
Yep, so all these ties now will be handed over to the fixture secretary. He will dish them out to venues. Once we get that all sorted, it will all be circulated to club captains and teams and... Yeah, some good battles there, Rob, and I think you've done a very good draw.
Well, I was actually going to ask you because we've got just around 2 minutes to go. So just very quickly, Ben, I think your reaction for the very first draw in the Mixed Cup said it all, really. But in terms of ties maybe to look out for, just on paper at least, what stand out to you? I think I know what the answer to one's going to be.
In the Mixed Cup, definitely in the first round, the two teams I would probably have in the final meeting in the first round is going to be very, very hotly contested. Could we see a new name on the trophy this year? We wait and see. The Mixed Plate, some very close ties there. Of course, you look at the result today between Vikings C and Backers C, it was only one goal in it. Could it be the same again? And then in the Mixed Bowl, I mean, we've not got any Castletown derbies, which I thought we might get.
Mathematically, must be extremely unlikely considering the amount of Castletown teams.
Yeah, there was 3 Castletown teams and we've managed to not get one Castletown derby, which has been impressive. But yeah, some really close ties in that. And yeah, it's going to make a great first round. And I think I'm going to have a long, hard think which game I'm going to go and cover.
And of course, like you mentioned as well, once we get a confirmed schedule for when and where matches will be played specifically, the Manx Hockey Association will let us know. But and again, just a reminder for those who may have missed it, Ben, in the Mixed Plate, there are 2 teams with a bye as well, aren't there?
Yep, so they are Harlequins B and Valkyries B, so they will meet each other in the next round.
Excellent. Well, Ben, thank you very much once again. A busy day in terms of hockey. And like you say, from an umpiring perspective as well today, some adaptation having to be done around the west of the island. But apart from the weather, which no one can control, good to see matches going ahead and with umpires on each one.
Yeah, it was great that we managed to only just have one game postponed today due to the weather. When I had to abandon that game today, it was very much down to player safety, and both captains and the other umpire were in full agreement. So it was the right decision, and it was the right decision for the other game to be called off. But only week 2, so plenty of time to get it rearranged.
Excellent. Well, Ben, thank you very much for joining us. And thank you for joining us on Manx Radio AM1368 for Saturday Sport Classified. Don't forget, if you want to listen back to this, you can as a podcast later this evening. And all the latest results and scores will be on the Manx Radio website very shortly. In the meantime, back to Manx Radio Gold. Thank you and good evening.
Manx Radio Sport.